Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
You may well have seen my next guest spread across magazines, billboards and TV screens. She's actually defied the odds of what most of the time is the short-lived modelling industry, working in high demand for more than 20 years. Carolyn Donovan faced and conquered the pressures of being in front of a camera day after day. She also had her fair share of challenges away from work, but a very grounded Christian faith has kept her going, focusing on what's really important. Now she writes about her experiences in the industry with the hope of encouraging and equipping young teenagers. And on top of that, she's particularly passionate about green living. In fact, her latest book, Greenies in Stilettos, I love the title, is all about being stewards of the earth in the easiest possible ways. Carolyn Donovan, welcome to Open House.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on the title. I love it. I want to start by talking about your early days in the modelling industry. Was it always an aim and ambition of yours?
It was something I fell into quite by accident. I grew up a very sort of gawky teenager with most of my clothing being hand-me-downs from my older cousins, and so I just imagined that the whole industry or even the thought of being a model would have been far too glamorous and elegant and beyond me. So it wasn't something, of course, you know, if someone had have said that that's what you should be, I would have been shocked and possibly a little bit of a childhood dream. I spent a lot of time, you know, with my hairbrush in front of the mirror singing.
Oh, yeah.
And all that type of stuff. But yeah, never imagined that that's something I could do as a career. Hence the book I wrote before The Last Greenies in Stilettos, one you just mentioned, which was Chooks in Stilettos, An Honest Look at the Glamorous Side of Life, because so many people assume it's just all champagne and limousines and designer gowns, and nothing could be further from the truth. It's hilarious, and it's a whole industry where you're pinned and tucked and pegged from behind and can't move sideways, and when you have a couple of, you know, snotty-nosed kids often hanging off your fake skinny leg jeans, it makes quite a hilarious daytime job.
Yes, I've never heard the industry that's always seeming so full of pressure and glamour.
Yeah.
Never heard it described as hilarious.
It is absolutely hilarious because you're pretending that you're something gorgeous and glamorous and elegant. And yeah, that sets you up for ridiculous things to happen to you.
So the impossibility as a kid of entering this industry, this glamorous so-called industry, it never held you back.
It didn't hold me back, I guess, because it happened so quickly and I just found myself going from one job to another and being flown to all these amazing places all over Australia and all over the world. It was something that was sort of an interim job. I was just doing it. Someone had given me an opportunity to do something. I fell into it quite by accident and I thought, I'll just do this before I go off and do my true love, which was art. I always wanted to be a graphic designer. And so I was just doing that in the meantime. And, 20-odd years later, I'm still here.
How have you been able to last for so long? Because that is a long time in what appears,
yes,
in what is often a here today, gone tomorrow industry.
I always say that it's an industry that really has the shelf life of a banana. How have I lasted so long? I think I love what I do. I love working in this industry. I love the creativeness and how everyone works together as a team to produce the end product, which is often, you know, quite beautiful, and I always considered it a real art form because I really do pick and choose the jobs I do. I don't do just anything that comes along. I've said no to a lot of jobs. There's a lot of things that I could have done that would have been great momentarily, maybe for my name, but I've sort of worked not overly hard, but I've picked and choose so that I remain relatively anonymous. Not many people know my name. I get a lot of people who say, hey, I know your face, and I'm okay with that. But I've kept myself rather anonymous, so it has given me longevity in this industry. I haven't turned up to, you know, the opening of everything. And so I can still portray other people's products, and which is basically what I do as a model. So I consider it very much my ministry, I guess. And it's something that there are so many other opportunities of other jobs that I've had that I could have done, but I believe I'm meant to be in this industry.
Again, I've never heard it mentioned as a ministry. How do you do that?
Very carefully.
Yes, I bet. Yeah.
Yes, I'm representing somebody much higher than me, so I'm very careful. You know, there are a lot of young girls. It's known for its youth and being a very youth-based industry, and so I'm in contact with a lot of young girls, which would be so easy to say, oh, I can just feel like I'm old and washed up and, you know, Nana walking along next to them, especially when they're all, you know, glamazon, 6'2", gorgeous girls sometimes I'm dealing with. I just have to really forget about the fact that I could be intimidated or I'm not feeling, you know, like I can compete with that, and just look at the fact, well, I am who I have been created to be. I'm going to be the best me possible. It sounds so easy to slip off the tongue like that. It does take a lot of hard work to get to that attitude.
Yes, I'm sure.
In any industry. But, yeah, like in any industry, there's always the opportunity for the whole sex, drugs and rock and roll and anything that's considered, you know, I guess that's always considered with this industry and
yes.
Fashion and what have you. But it's the choices you make, and I get a great opportunity to... I spend sometimes when you're doing TV commercials and things like that and rehearsing for fashion parades, there's a lot of waiting around time, and you share a lot of very personal things with people, and a lot of young girls are very confused, especially when your whole self-worth and your job is based on what you see in the mirror.
Yes.
And so I get the opportunity to talk to them, and they're fascinated. When they find out how old I am and that I'm a mother, they're like, oh, really? And so they want to know, how am I still in this industry? Why? And they're interested in what I have to say. And so there's always going to be voices. You know, girls are very, or humankind, we have so much information. We're so spiritually aware. And I think when you have the opportunity to speak into someone's life, they're going to listen, regardless of what that is. And so I think being very base and alongside them makes a huge difference.
When you speak to them about your faith,
yes.
And it will often surprise them, and being careful, as you wisely do, what do you say? How do you speak about Christian faith into that kind of industry?
I'm just very natural about it, because it's just part of who I am. Every situation's different, of course, and depending on what they're going through or what issue they might be facing or concerns, or it's very easy to come alongside somebody and pick up on them and how they view life and their worldview just by talking to them and sitting next to them with a cup of coffee.
Yes.
It's not like I bend down and look for a counselling opportunity. And I guess I don't jump up and down and say, hey, I'm a Christian. And it just naturally comes out in the conversation in what I believe and what I don't say sometimes. And to me, my view is that we as humans are all spirit, body and soul, and all those things are equally important. And so it's something that when people ask why I am, I say that's a really important component of who you are. And if that's squashed, then, you know, you're not balanced in your life.
And I expect how you last in an industry where the judgment on you as a participant is really so superficial.
Yes. But I think that's also something that is just, you could call it media driven, you could call it whatever. I think that is a really common thread among particularly females, but very much so. I have a teenage son and I'm surrounded with a lot of young boys as well, and I think being judged on how you look and how you present is something that we can't escape in this world. If you have a computer, if you watch television, or if you, you know, walk past a bus with a billboard on the side of it, it's something that you just can't escape in this day
yes.
and age.
I want to touch on your son and
yes.
another challenge you faced, a huge challenge, unexpectedly becoming a single mum with Harrison.
Yes.
You're up to telling us about that period of your life.
That, it was amazing. I was listening to someone talking last week, and it was Rick Warren, actually, and he said, grief doesn't define you, and it doesn't mark out your map for you, but you can let it draw you closer to God. And And it's something that anyone who's been through grief will understand it. It's very hard to explain, but the human body is just amazing, because when you go through something that traumatic, you sort of shut down a bit, and you become very insular. It's like a bubble that really protects you. And so it's a real numbness that I felt for a very long time. But I was so thankful that I did have my son, my little baby boy. He was 8 months old at the time. His need of me pretty much drew me out of myself. So he needed me to get up in the morning, and he needed me to, you know, make something healthy for him to eat. And so it was a horrendous time. Harrison's father was a racing car driver. It sounds like a daredevil thing. After having experienced it and watched it and been around it, I thought they were pretty safe, because they all go in the same direction. They're all fully trained and they've all got the full gear on, all the protective gear.
Yeah.
But, it was a freak accident. It took everyone by surprise. He was a very experienced driver, and he'd been a world champion motorbike racer before that. So, it was a freak accident. Someone hit him and he was gone instantly. Never got to say goodbye. Spent a lot of time in guilt and regret of all the things I should have, could have, would have said. I was in a numb fog for most of it. I was very fortunate for having amazing people around me who really supported me in that. But it was a really hard time. But it's gave me so much empathy for other people and situations, and in a way that I never would have had if yes. something horrendous like that hadn't have happened to me.
I bet it did. How long was it before you began to emerge from that?
I guess it's just something that you learn not to go there, because you can just get totally swamped under in grief, and because you can just look at something, or a smell can set you off, or a picture, or driving down a certain street. And so in the end, I got quite disciplined with myself and taught myself not to go there. If I felt something coming over me, there was, of course, a very healthy grieving time, and I had to basically teach myself, you can't go there right now. And so it wasn't a blocking off. It was a very healthy process for me, but it was controlling my emotions because I had things to do, and I had a son to raise who wasn't going to work out very well if I fell apart every time I looked at him, because he looked exactly like his dad.
Okay.
So it was something that I learnt to build into my life. So I didn't ignore it. I didn't pretend it didn't happen, but I just weaved it into my life. So it's very much a part of us as a family. I have a wonderful husband now and more kids, and so it is part of our family history and who we are. But, of course, it doesn't overwhelm who I am anymore.
No. The role your faith played through that time.
Oh, so important. It was crucial. It was so important. It gave me a lot of comfort and a lot of hope, and the knowledge that there are things in this life that are beyond my understanding, and that I can rest in knowing that God has them in control, and he has a greater purpose for my life, even though I can't fully comprehend why and how and every detail of my future. That was really important to me. A lot of people I know go off to clairvoyance and people like that. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said the best way to predict the future is to create it. So it was a daily stepping out and creating a new life that was different to how I imagined it would or was going to be.
What a powerful answer. Can I take you to your green credentials
yes.
now? You're a self-declared upcycling eco-warrior. Please explain.
Well, again, so many people assume that being in the fashion industry is just, you know, the worst footprint on the
yes.
ecosystem that you could possibly imagine, because you've got, you know, more eyeshadow than you could possibly have eyelids for, And products just aren't always considered overly natural. And it's a very synthetic, almost fake industry from some perceptions. I have always been a really big believer that we are stewards of our earth and we need to look after it. You know, we've been given this beautiful, amazing earth, and we really do have a mandate to care for it and care for the people that are in it. That's the important part. And so it's something that I've always been into. People have always been, you know, my friends have all laughed at me and called me a granny because I have recycled long before we even had recycling bins. And I've always upcycled clothes. I hate waste. But I'm a huge shopper. I love shopping. So many people assume, oh, do you never touch shops? And you're one of those people that undertake those, you know, 365 days of not shopping. And I'm like, no. But I really have always been a big advocate of knowing where your product's from, knowing who created them. I love supporting Australian designers or local designers or designers who are going out of their way to make sure that they're not poisoning the local areas of wherever their garments are being made, and things like that. And so, but so many people, we know all the stats. We know that our earth is dying and we're poisoning things, and we know all those, and it's so negative, and people just assume that changing their lifestyle would not only be uncomfortable and annoying and a hassle, but really unattractive. But I wrote Greenies in Stilettos, and especially the end tag, which is how to save the world without really trying, because I am the laziest person you have ever met, aside from being the greenest. But there are so many positive, easy ways that we can save the world without really trying. Just simple things like, did you know that in your office, on your office desk, you should actually have an indoor plant? And you should have one in every room because they are a whole microcosm in themselves that completely clean your indoor air. And so many people, I used to laugh at people jogging in the city at lunchtime and go, oh, look at those people jogging through all that pollution. But our inside air is now considered up to 70% more polluted than our external air because of all the, you know, the fragrances in things and the dyes on everything. And, you know, our carpet is full of glues and I could go on and on and on, yeah. But we actually need little things like a tiny, and I'm not talking like a massive plant where you wouldn't be able to see the other side of your desk. I'm talking like, you know, just a small 15-centimeter diameter pot plant. And it's not me being some wacky, hey, have a plant. NASA actually discovered this while trying to work out ways to keep their astronauts in space longer. So, and there are, you know, 10 I've got in the book, top 10 houseplants, and they're beautiful things that we all love, like gerberdae, daisies and peace lilies, and so the book is full of really positive ways,
yes,
that not only make your life more beautiful, but really significantly impact the planet. And of course, there's a big thing in fashion on there because I love clothes and I love dressing up.
And yet, stilettos aren't the usual attire associated with greenies.
Well, you can get some very green shoes.
Yes.
I have other things in there, like, you know, fun things like how to make a last-minute gorgeous handbag out of a tank top and, you know, whipping up an evening dress in 2 seconds flat with what you have out of your wardrobe. So they're ways, I guess my thought process is momentum builds momentum and creativity bursts creativity, and they're things that I'm not saying, hey, I have all the answers. I'm hoping that I will then spur you on to go, oh, wow, I could do this or I could do that, and especially I love watching girls because I do a lot of talks on this and corporate talks on it, and I love watching people's faces, and they come up to me afterwards and go, hey, I had this great idea while you were talking for this, and they're things that I never would have thought of.
Oh,
and so that's what, to me, writing, that's why I love writing so much, because when you read, you picture things in your mind, so it's a whole other area that I'm just hoping will, you know, send off all these seeds of creativity and ideas that they can do to save the world.
You're an absolute inspiration, a great ambassador for the fashion industry.
Oh, thank you.
Greenies and Stilettos is well worth a good read. We'll put the details up on our Open House Community Facebook page. Carolyn Donovan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lee. It's been fun.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.